If you like what you see, please like and share the video, and subscribe to the channel, turning on all notifications. If you would like to support this channel in any way, please do so through Buy Me a Coffee. The link is in the description. Those who have bought coffees since the premiere of my last video and the recording of this one are Illuminothing and Michael H. You can also like and follow us on Facebook. The link for that is also in the description. I am an American, a citizen of the United States of America. I am patriotic and I love my country. But today, many American Christians, even modern-day Catholics, have a tendency to mix their patriotism with the Christian religion. This is on display overtly in many evangelical churches. Claims that the founding of our nation, even the principles of liberty and freedom, in which it was founded, come directly from God. We enthusiastically thank the members of our armed forces for safeguarding these freedoms, and songs about honoring those who have died in war to protect them are sung. My grandfather fought in World War II, something I'm very proud of, and these men and women are certainly brave and worthy of our honor and respect for defending our country against its enemies. But some believe that dying for freedom is the noblest of deaths. Often people will say, "I don't agree with him, but I would fight and die for his right to believe and live as he chooses." Really? So you're telling me that you would die for a man to have the right to sleep with a woman who is not his wife? You would die for a man to have the right to marry another man, and probably worst of all, you would die for this man to have the right to worship a God other than the one true God. You, Mr. Christian, would die for someone's right to offend God. Will that save your soul? Is dying for freedom more noble than dying for Christ? But the reality is, this evangelical Protestant form of religious patriotic Americanism is a false religion. These liberties and freedoms do not come from Christian principles. They are Freemasonic, naturalistic, and pagan in origin. This unbridled liberty is offensive to God, and I'll prove it to you. What is the first commandment? Thou shalt have no other gods before me. But what does the First Amendment say? Have any god you like. This is not true liberty, it's license. God did not start America, he started the Catholic Church, and it is her and her alone that he guides to all truth. And the Church has condemned these ideas of liberty and freedom as understood by our founders. The popes have condemned as erroneous religious liberty, separation of church and state, unbridled freedom of speech and expression, freedom of the press, and freedom of education. Now, don't get me wrong, the Church upholds true liberty and freedom, which can be summed up like this. Truth has all the rights, error has none. Truth has all liberty and freedom, error has none. To give equal rights to both truth and falsehood is itself an error. 2 + 2 = 4 and 2 + 2 = 5 do not have the same rights, and both should not be taught. If 2 + 2 = 5 is given the same rights as 2 + 2 = 4, then 2 + 2 = 4 has suffered a loss of liberty, because it and it alone has the freedom and liberty to be taught and heard. When error is given the same freedom and liberty as truth, truth loses some of its own freedom and liberty, because it and it alone has the freedom and liberty to be heard and acknowledged. And America clearly gives equal standing to both truth and error. This is why our country is on the verge of collapse, because this distorted principle of liberty that it was founded on is erroneous, and is leading us exactly where the popes said it would. This is hard for you to hear, Mr. Catholic? Well, it was for me too at first. The first time I heard this was a talk being delivered by Charles Colomb, and I quickly turned it off in disgust. But once you take the blinders off, the truth will set you free. And the truth is, the principles America was founded on are erroneous and have been condemned by the Catholic Church. Now, I'm going to quote excerpts from 4 documents condemning these erroneous freedoms, and sometimes they don't flow into each other. So if it sounds a little chopped up, that's because it is. In spite of that, I am quoting extensively from them. So bear with me. As you can see, this is a long video, and it's because the quotes are so long. And I'm not going to put the text on the screen like I normally do, but I will put links to these documents in the description so you can read them for yourselves, and you should do that. Morari Vos by Gregory XVI. Now we consider another abundant source of the evils with which the Church is afflicted at present, indifferentism. This perverse opinion is spread on all sides
by the fraud of the wicked, who claim that it is possible to obtain the eternal salvation of the soul by the profession of any kind of religion, as long as morality is maintained. This shameful font of indifferentism gives rise to that absurd and erroneous proposition which claims that liberty of conscience must be maintained for everyone. It spreads ruin in sacred and civil affairs. When all restraints are removed by which men are kept on the narrow path of truth, their nature, which is already inclined to evil, propels them to ruin. So the restraints of religion are thrown off, by which alone kingdoms stand. Even from the earliest times, cities renowned for wealth, dominion, and glory perished as a result of this single evil, namely immoderate freedom of opinion, license of free speech, and desire for novelty. Here we must include that harmful and never sufficiently denounced freedom to publish any writings whatsoever and disseminate them to the people, which some dare to demand and promote with so great a clamor. Thus, it is evident that this Holy See has always striven through the ages to condemn and to remove suspect and harmful books, and they deny the Church the right to decree and to maintain it. Nor can we predict happier times for religion and government from the plans of those who desire vehemently to separate the Church from the state, and to break the mutual concord between temporal authority and the priesthood. May our dear sons in Christ, the princes, support these our desires for the welfare of Church and state with their resources and authority. May they understand that they received their authority not only for the government of the world, but especially for the defense of the Church. They should diligently consider that whatever work they do for the welfare of the Church accrues to their rule in peace. Indeed, let them persuade themselves that they owe more to the cause of the faith than to their kingdom. Libertas by Leo XIII. The fundamental doctrine of rationalism is the supremacy of the human reason, which, refusing due submission to the divine and eternal reason, proclaims its own independence and constitutes itself the supreme principle and resource and judge of truth. Hence, these followers of liberalism deny the existence of any divine authority to which obedience is due, and proclaim that every man is the law to himself, that the authority of the state comes from the people only, and that just as every man's individual reason is his only rule of life, so the collective reason of the community should be the supreme guide in the management of all public affairs. Hence the doctrine of the supremacy of the greater number, and that all right and all duty reside in the majority. But from what has been said, it is clear that all this is in contradiction to reason. The empire of God over man and civil society once repudiated, it follows that religion as a public institution can have no claim to exist, and that everything that belongs to religion will be treated with complete indifference. Furthermore, with ambitious designs on sovereignty, tumult and sedition will be common amongst the people, and when duty and conscience cease to appeal to them, there will be nothing to hold them back but force, which of itself alone is powerless to keep their covetousness in check. Hence follows the fatal theory of the need of separation of church and state. For since God is the source of all goodness and justice, it is absolutely ridiculous that the state should pay no attention to these laws or render them abortive by contrary enactment. Besides, those who are in authority owe it to the commonwealth not only to provide for its external well-being and the conveniences of life, but still more to consult the welfare of men's souls in the wisdom of their legislation. To make this more evident, the growth of liberty ascribes to our age must be considered apart in its various details. And first, let us examine that liberty in individuals which is so opposed to the virtue of religion, namely, the liberty of worship, as it is called. This is based on the principle that every man is free to profess as he may choose any religion or none. This kind of liberty is considered in relation to the state, clearly implies that there is no reason why the state should offer any homage to God, or should desire any public recognition of him, that no one form of worship is to be preferred to another, but that all stand on an equal footing, no account being taken of the religion of the people, even if they profess the Catholic faith. But to justify this, it must needs be taken as true that the state has no duties towards God, or that such duties, if they do exist, can be abandoned with impunity, both of which assertions are manifestly false. Wherefore, civil society must acknowledge God as its founder and parent, and must obey and reverence his power and authority. Justice therefore forbids, and reason itself forbids, the state to be godless, or to adopt a line of action which would end in godlessness, namely, to treat the various religions alike and to bestow upon them promiscuously equal rights and privileges. Since then the profession of one religion is necessary in the state, that religion must be professed which alone is true, and which can be recognized without difficulty, especially in the Catholic states, because the marks of truth are, as it were, engravers upon it. This religion, therefore, the rulers of the state must preserve and protect, which is the Catholic Church, by the way. We must now consider briefly liberty of speech and liberty of the press. It is hardly necessary to say that there can be no such right as this if it not be used in moderation and if it pass beyond the bounds and end of all true liberty. For right is a moral power which, as we have before said and must again and again repeat, it is absurd to suppose that nature has accord indifferently to truth and falsehood, to justice and injustice. Men have a right freely and prudently to propagate throughout the state what things soever are true and honorable, so that as many as possible may possess them, but lying opinions, than which no mental plague is greater, and vice, which corrupt the heart and moral life, should be diligently repressed by public authority, lest they insidiously work the ruin of the state. In faith and in teaching morality, God himself made the church a partaker of his divine authority, and through his heavenly gift she cannot be deceived. She is therefore the greatest and most reliable teacher of mankind, and in her swells an inviolable right to teach them. Therefore the divine teaching of the church, so far from being an obstacle to the pursuit of learning and the progress of science, or in any way retarding the advance of civilization, in reality brings to them the sure guidance of shining light. And for the same reason it is of no small advantage for the perfecting of human liberty, since our Savior Jesus Christ has said that by truth is man made free, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Therefore, there is no reason why genuine liberty should grow indignant or true science feel aggrieved at having to bear the just and necessary restraint of laws by which, in the judgment of the church and of reason itself, human teaching has to be controlled. Another liberty is widely advocated, namely, liberty of conscience. If by this is meant that everyone may, as he chooses, worship God or not, it is sufficiently refuted by the arguments already adduced. For the right to command and to require obedience exists only so far as it is in accordance with the authority of God, and is within the measure that he has laid down. But when anything is commanded which is plainly at variance with the will of God, there is a wide departure from this divinely instituted order, and at the same time a direct conflict with divine authority. Therefore, it is right not to obey. From what has been said, it follows that it is quite unlawful to demand, to defend, or to grant unconditional freedom of thought, of speech, or writing, or of worship, as if these were so many rights given by nature to man. For if nature had really granted them, it would be lawful to refuse obedience to God, and there would be no restraint on human liberty. Again, it is not of itself wrong to prefer a democratic form of government, if only the Catholic doctrine be maintained as to the origin and exercise of power. Of the various forms of government, the Church does not reject any that are fitted to procure the welfare of the subject. Yet, with the discernment of a true mother, the Church weighs the great burden of human weakness, and well knows the course down which the minds and actions of men are in this our age being born. For this reason, while not conceding any right to anything save what is true and honest, she does not forbid public authority to tolerate what is at variance with truth and justice for the sake of avoiding some greater evil, or of obtaining or preserving some greater good. Quanta Cura by Pius IX. Which false and perverse opinions are on that ground the more to be detested, because they chiefly tend to this, that solitary influence be impeded and even removed, which the Catholic Church, according to the institution and command of her divine author, should freely exercise even to the end of the world, not only over private individuals, but over nations, peoples, and their sovereign princes, and tend also to take away that mutual fellowship and concord of councils between church and state. For you well know, venerable brethren, that at this time men are found not a few who, applying to civil society the impious and absurd principle of naturalism, as they call it, dare to teach that the best constitution of public society and also civil progress altogether requires that human society be conducted and governed without regard being had to religion in any more than if it did not exist, or at least without any distinction being made between the true religion and false ones. And against the doctrine of Scripture, of the Church, and of the Holy Fathers, they do not hesitate to assert that that is the best condition of civil society in which no duty is recognized as attached to the civil power of restraining by enacted penalties offenders against the Catholic religion, except so far as public peace may require. From which totally false idea of social government, they do not fear to foster that erroneous opinion, most fatal in its effects on the Catholic Church and the salvation of souls, called by our predecessor Gregory XVI an insanity, that liberty of conscience and worship is each man's personal right, which ought to be legally proclaimed and asserted in every rightly constituted society, and that a right resides in the citizens to an absolute liberty, which should be restrained by no authority, whether ecclesiastical or civil, whereby they may be able openly and publicly to manifest and declare any of their ideas whatever, either by word of mouth or by the press or any other way. But while they rashly affirm this, they do not think and consider that they are preaching liberty of perdition, and that if human arguments are always allowed free room for discussion, there will never be wanting men who will dare to resist truth and to trust in the flowing speech of human wisdom, whereas we know from the very teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ how carefully Christian faith and wisdom should avoid this most injurious babbling. And since where religion has been removed from civil society and the doctrine and authority of divine revelation repudiated, the genuine notion itself of justice and human right is darkened and lost, and the place of true justice and legitimate right is supplied by material force. Thence it appears why it is that some, utterly neglecting and disregarding the surest principles of sound reason, dare to proclaim that the people's will manifested by what is called public opinion, or in some other way, constitutes a supreme law, free from all divine and human control, and that in the public order accomplished facts, from the very circumstance that they are accomplished, have the force of right, and to proclaim that the clergy, as being hostile to the truth and beneficial advance of science and civilization, should be removed from the whole charge and duty of instructing and educating youth, that the Church can decree nothing which binds the conscience of the faithful in regard to their use of temporal things, that the Church has no right of restraining by temporal punishments those who violate her laws. Amidst, therefore, such great perversity of depraved opinions, we shall, remembering our apostolic office, and very greatly solicitous for our most holy religion, for sound doctrine, and for the salvation of souls, which is entrusted to us by God, and solicitous also for the welfare of human society itself, have thought it right again to raise up our apostolic voice. Therefore, by our apostolic authority, we reprobate, proscribe, and condemn all the singular and evil opinions and doctrines severely mentioned in this letter, and will and command that they be thoroughly held by all children of the Catholic Church as reprobate, proscribed, and condemned. This is infallible language, by the way, meaning these condemnations are infallible and it cannot change.
The Syllabus of Errors by Pius IX. Now, I'm only going to do a few of these to get my point across, but remember, these are errors, so the statements are false. Number 15. Every man is free to embrace and profess that religion which, guided by the light of reason, he shall consider to be true. Number 20. The ecclesiastical power ought not to exercise its authority without the permission and assent of the civil government. Number 24. The Church has not the power of using force, nor has she any temporal power, direct or indirect. Number 27. The sacred ministers of the Church and the Roman Pontiff are to be absolutely excluded from every charge and dominion over temporal affairs. Number 33. It does not appertain exclusively to the power of the ecclesiastical jurisdiction by right, proper, and innate to direct the teaching of theological questions. Number 42. In the case of conflicting laws enacted by the two powers, the civil law prevails. Remember, that's an error. Number 47. The best theory of civil society requires that popular schools open to children of every class of the people and generally all public institutions intended for instruction in letter and philosophical sciences and for carrying on the education of youth should be freed from all ecclesiastical authority, control, and interference, and should be fully subjected to the civil and political power at the pleasure of the rulers and according to the standard of the prevalent opinions of the age. Number 77. In the present day, it is no longer expedient that the Catholic religion should be held as the only religion of the state, to the exclusion of all other forms of worship.
The insanity we see in our country today is not an abuse of the liberties granted to us in the Constitution, as many pseudo-conservatives believe. It's the natural progression of that liberty because there is no oversight by the Catholic Church. Now, you might say that these principles of freedom of speech, freedom of expression, even freedom of the press are open to interpretation and they don't have to be interpreted as they have been for the last few decades. The problem with that is without church oversight, thanks to separation of church and state and freedom of religion, our sinful nature will always push it to the very limits, so we're always going to end up here. Or you could say, this is happening because communists and Freemasons use those liberties to infiltrate and take over our institutions, not because liberty is bad. Well, the Freemasons were behind all the revolutions for freedom and liberty, including ours and the French Revolution, and the Freemasons gave us communism. The American Revolution wasn't our revolution, meaning Christians, it was theirs. They set up the American institutions. They can't infiltrate something they already have. And even if that wasn't true, which it is, there was no church oversight to stop it. The only person who tried to stop it was Senator McCarthy, and his methods were deemed unconstitutional. The problem is they own the system. As you can see from these papal documents, the state has a duty to uphold the Catholic religion, even going so far as to punish those who offend it. The church has authority over the state, not the other way around. Therefore, the church has the right to demand civil laws be enacted against immoral behavior. As well, the people have the right, even the duty, to disobey laws that go against the natural law, the moral law, or divine law. The church has the right of oversight in the study of sciences, all of them. The Catholic Church has the right to censor the press and ban books. The Catholic Church and the Catholic Church alone has the right to be recognized by the state as the true religion, because it is. And Christ has the right to be recognized as king in civil society by the government. Look, is Christianity the true religion or not? If it is, then why do you object to this? This is the double-mindedness the Apostle Paul speaks of in Scripture. People believe all of the doctrines of Christianity to be true, yet do not believe that society has an obligation to recognize it. And what's worse, some say that it is a right from God to deny him in government and society, that the right to freedom of religion comes from God. If God has given us the right to religious liberty, then he would not send people to hell for being in the wrong religion, yet we know he does. But he wouldn't if we were simply exercising a right he has given us. I'm sorry, but the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution are just wrong on this. They are not inalienable rights endowed by our Creator. And this is why we shouldn't be surprised when pseudo-conservative leaders object to things like Christ is King, because they're not actually conservatives. They're liberals. They're just not as bad as Democrats. But Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, Jordan Peterson, Ben Shapiro, Dennis Prager, Mark Levin, and on and on and on are all infected with the liberal ideology of liberty and freedom that these popes condemned. They may object to some of the symptoms, but they don't actually want to cure the disease. So don't look to those people for guidance. Now, you might say that the liberals today are wanting to implement these things, laws against freedom of speech and expression, against their ideology, censorship on social media, etc. Aren't you saying it's okay for the Catholic Church to do it, but not them? Yes, that's exactly what I'm saying. Remember, truth has all the rights, error has none. The Catholic Church alone is guaranteed to remain in truth, as Pope Leo XIII stated. Matthew 28:18 says, "And Jesus came to them and said, All authority in heaven on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you." The teaching authority of the church surpasses the authority of the state. Jesus didn't say some power and authority has been given to me, but others are reserved for the state. He said, all power and authority has been given to me, and I'm giving it to you. And as indicated in these documents, you can discover for yourself that the Catholic religion is the true religion. Now, let's talk about freedom of press and freedom of education for a minute. I think some people might be saying, okay, yes, this is the true religion and it should be recognized. And yeah, you can't yell fire in a theater. So there really is no such thing as free speech or expression. But freedom of press, freedom of education, what's wrong with that? Well, let me ask you, are you happy with the way the free press has conducted itself in the United States? No, you're not, or you wouldn't be watching my channel. Are you happy with public education in America? No, you're not, or you wouldn't be watching my channel. The reality is there is no such thing as free press and free education. Someone is always going to take over and decide what gets taught and what does not get taught. Someone with an agenda is going to make sure their agenda is put through. Again, Freemasons own the system, so we shouldn't be surprised it's their ideology that's being pushed. And it's always going to be those who are against Christ and against the Catholic Church, because human nature, our sinful nature, our concupiscence will always win out. This is a point made over and over in these documents explaining why these rites are bad, because we are always going to choose evil when we're given the chance to. This is also why the will of the people, majority rule, and right by might is condemned, an abject democracy where the will of the people is put above everything else. The will of the people brought us slavery. It's keeping abortion going. It's what gave us same-sex marriage. It's what's keeping the transgender movement going. And if you're a Christian and still for freedom of religion, then don't complain about public Satanism. Don't complain about satanic prayers in state legislatures or public black masses, because they have as much of a right under freedom of religion as Christianity does. If you want it to stop, then you have to make it illegal, and that means Christianity is recognized by the state. And if you're a Christian and you're okay with public Satanism because you recognize that they have the same rights as Christians under the law, then you need to do some soul searching, because you don't worship God, you worship liberty. You're putting the rights of man over the rights of God and His church, and you are part of the problem. This is why I say that Christian, or rather Catholic, monarchy is the best form of government. But certain errors can be tolerated, as Pope Leo XIII said, "It is not of itself wrong to prefer a democratic form of government, if only the Catholic doctrine be maintained as to the origin and exercise of power." So America is salvageable. Until my next video, God bless.